Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. To be honest, I resisted the move for a couple of years, and some of you are aware of this. I resisted joining Facebook. Actually, I was on Facebook for a few years with a very low-key profile, you know, no photo, no personal information given out. And I really just did that to connect with my three children, all whom were regularly on Facebook. And I thought that was working well. And it seemed to be enough until I began to notice some things this past year, such as, parishioners who shared on Facebook life circumstances such as surgeries or family concerns. And then I only heard about them myself, sometimes third hand or fourth hand, sometimes long after the event. Or things like this, conversations that apparently were going on Facebook among parishioners and fellow pastors, my colleagues, about important issues of our time where Christian faith has impact and influence. And there was really no way for me to participate in the conversation. It became increasingly clear to me that there was this void of connection between myself and some of my parishioners, and myself and some of my colleagues, and myself and even the wider church in some ways. So sometime this summer, I asked another Trinity member, Kathy Holmes, to help me create a Facebook profile so that I could be part of the conversation. She was very patient with me. She really was. She was a great help. And now I am a confirmed Facebook user. Can it be a huge time sucker? Absolutely. Can it be a means for fruitful connections with others in the body of Christ? Absolutely. Of course, not everyone in this room is on Facebook, or even wants to be, or needs to be. And not everyone who is on it in here is on it to the same degree that I am. And many more of you are on it to a much higher degree than I am. You just need to know I don't take pictures of my food and post it. That's just not something I do very often. Just so you know. But whether or not you're on Facebook, I need to let you know this. What's happening today in the social media revolution is not unlike what happened nearly 500 years ago when Martin Luther is said to have nailed his 95 debate topics, his 95 theses, on the door of the Wittenberg University Church. Luther was a German priest. He was also a theology professor, and he had deep concerns about practices that were going on in the church at the time. And he thought there were certain practices that were in direct conflict with the very good news that we share here all the time, that Christ alone saves, and that faith alone in this Christ puts us in a new and right relationship with God. So Luther wanted to make his concerns known, and he thought if he drew up these 95 debate topics, these 95 theses, that he could have some kind of academic debate with his colleagues. Actually, he may have originally written them in Latin. I think he probably only intended it to be a debate with academicians like himself. But he was hoping that there'd be some way that the church would reform, would change its practices. But something funny happened along the way. The 95 theses became public. Someone translated them into German, and they were widely disseminated. Gutenberg's recent invention of the printing press probably saw to that. And now everyone was talking about the church and the Christian faith and life. And what we often call the start of the Protestant Reformation in that kind of historical sense actually had begun earlier than Luther's arrival on the scene. But this 95 theses and their public dissemination really propelled forward this whole Reformation of the church. Because suddenly at all levels of society, from the top of with the priesthood and the Pope on down to the common people, all levels of society were beginning to have conversations about the faith. Now, is that what's needed today? I mean, does social media maybe provide a platform, and maybe a variety of platforms, where these kinds of conversations can go on at all levels? I'm more and more convinced that the answer is yes. Now, I'm not suggesting that what we're doing right now here isn't vital, because here is where the means of grace are given. The transformative word of Scripture changes us. And here is where the bath of water welcomes us and the food nourishes us. So this is absolutely vital. But the conversation of faith doesn't end in this place. And the conversation really needs to be a dialogue. You know, I mean, I stand up here and talk and you never get a chance to. You know, you got to change that somehow. There needs to be an opportunity where as we as sisters and brothers struggle together to make sense of how faith in Christ and what Christ has done actually impacts what we do every single day. Surely there are plenty of ways that that conversation can take place. So I suggest we look 500 years back and see how Luther did it. First, he translated the Bible into German. Now, this is really very important because now a common peasant could read or hear and understand the stories of Jesus and the letters of Paul and become a more faithful disciple of our Lord. I mean, think about that. I'm not saying today that a majority of Christians today never crack open the Bible, but it is true that its sheer size and breadth, its imposing language, its ancient scenarios often make us kind of shy away from wanting to even read the Bible. Or what we do is we say, well, we've got to read it like every other book. You know, you start at page one and you work your way to the back. So you get to the first chapter of Genesis and you're doing fine and you get bogged down and stop in the fifth chapter of Leviticus. And you go no further. And then, of course, there are a gazillion translations from which to choose. So what we do is we often read sparingly and without understanding or application. So rather than giving up the word entirely, how about just reading manageable chunks of it at a time? And that's why, for example, at Trinity, we provide some devotional resources. We've got hard copy devotional resources available. We've got devotional resources on our website. And there are even more things. And again, this is where I think social media comes in. I suggest to you to look for an app on your phone or something that you can receive in your inbox. Each morning, very early, before I'm reading Penn Live at 6 in the morning online, I get in my email something called Daily Devotional, just a very brief devotion in Scripture and prayer from the United Church of Christ. And then I also have Our Daily Bread as an app on my smartphone. And they're right at my fingertips. You know, early in the morning, which is when I'm at my best, that's probably the right time. That's where I'm the most open to reading that word and the most willing to take the time to read that word and let that become a devotional time for me. I don't know what would work for you. And I realize that an app on your phone is just one little way to read the Bible. I would encourage you to read even more than just small chunks, but it's a way to start. It's a way to start letting the word transform you. And I think Luther would have been delighted at all these possibilities. And I know he would have been delighted at the gazillion translations. Take a look at Eugene Peterson's The Message if you want a wonderful paraphrase of the Bible. Very accessible language. Very sense-making for someone who may only have read the beautiful but sometimes misunderstandable and ununderstandable King James Version. Well, Luther did something else, okay? He wrote a very slim volume called The Small Catechism. And while the Lutheran Church for nearly 500 years has used that as its basis for Christian education, particularly those who are going to be confirmed in the church, and while we use it with our eighth graders in our affirmation of baptism classes, Luther's original intent in publishing this was really not so much to be studied in the church building. It was meant to be studied in the home. It was meant for families, for parents to teach their children the faith, to pass on to the next generation, because they promised in their children's baptism they would do this. And so they were able to teach them the Lord's Prayer and the Ten Commandments and the Apostles' Creed and talk about the meaning of baptism and the meaning of communion. So what Luther wanted to see happen was that families, in their time together, would have conversation about the faith, right where they are. So how are we supposed to, like, make that happen here? One way, Kelly Falk, our director of Children and Family Ministries, and I, plus a few other Trinity folk here, are participating in a program through our Lower Susquehanna Synod of the ELCA. It's called Reimagining Faith Formation. And it's really an attempt for us to maybe develop some kind of initiative where families can have those kinds of conversations about faith and life right where they are being a family. And I don't know for certain what it's going to look like, but, for example, a possibility might be that we would create a devotional resource that a family can take their tablet or their computer at home, sit around the living room, pull this up, have some questions, and talk the faith life together, okay? Or maybe it's something that can actually then you can pull up on your smartphone, and when you're sitting there waiting for soccer practice to begin, you know, you can sit there in the car and talk about the faith. And talk about things that we are talking about here already, but now you're talking about it in all the places you go with your family and your friends. You're talking about, where's God active in our world? What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? Where is Jesus calling us to serve? How do we make faithful decisions in challenging questions that we face? And when those faith conversations begin to take place beyond the confines of this building, then what's happening is the fresh wind of the Holy Spirit blowing on God's people. And we are being shaped into more faithful followers of Jesus. So we're being reformed, aren't we? We're being reformed into the people God created us to be. Of course, you know, I've only mentioned a couple things. We've barely scratched the surface of what reformation might look like in this technological day and age. For example, we use images and occasionally videos on our screens, and nowhere near enough, because I know a lot of you are more visual learners. I think it's important to have those images and those videos up on the screen, because I think they reach us in ways sometimes words alone don't. And I have a blog, and there are wonderful, faithful Christian blogs out there. I have a blog, but I neglect it sometimes for weeks. So you may or may not read it, because you don't know when I'm going to write it. And yet I know that that's where dialogue can really take place, that there's a way to have a faith conversation in that social media platform. Oh, I have a Twitter account, too. And by the way, if you wanted to tweet something in the middle of my sermon, that really is okay. I won't think you're typing in your grocery list or checking emails. Well, you might be. But you can. I have a Twitter account, but I haven't established a profile yet, and I probably have to ask Kathy Holmes to help me with that. But I think that somehow, even in 140 characters, a person can say something of substance and faith that might make a difference for someone else. You know, Martin Luther translated Paul's letter to the Romans, a portion of which was our second reading today. And it was when Luther translated that book of the Bible that he was just filled with gratitude and humility, recognizing now the unconditional love of God, the sheer grace of God given to us in Jesus. And Luther was so moved by that that he was determined to find ways to share that truth with everyone else. Luther really believed that when people would hear that truth, that they would be drawn to God in faith. And that people, once they finally realized that they were really loved by God, and that they were really freed by God now to love and serve their neighbors, well, they would be reformed. That is Luther's legacy to us. And he used all the communication processes available in his day to do that. May we be so determined in our day and age. Because we're being reformed, too, in this time. And we're being reformed to share the good news again with one another, for mutual encouragement, and then with those we meet wherever you and I are going on our daily walks. So let's consider the communication processes that are available to us, the means we have for the means of grace to be shared by us. And again, I want us to listen to the paraphrase of the prayer by St. Teresa of Avila, as written by Meredith Gold. Christ has no online presence but yours. No blog, no Facebook page but yours. Yours are the tweets through which love touches the world. Yours are the posts through which the gospel is shared. Yours are the updates through which hope is revealed. Christ has no online presence but yours. No blog, no Facebook page, but yours. Amen.